The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
Oh,
I love it. All right. I'm going to ask the little ones. All the little ones, I want you guys to have a seat. I know you have ants in your pants. We're going to work it out as well as you possibly can. But sit on your hind parts for me. We are going to be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we are digging back into the last, not the last, one of the last sermons of Advent. And here's the thing I want you guys to hear. Here's the thing I really want you to hear. And listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Matter of fact, this is the soul tattoo, so don't miss it. Ready? The soul tattoo is, don't miss this baby this Christmas. Don't miss this baby this Christmas. We had the pleasure of having Gloria stay with us for a little bit of time before she went back home to California. And while she was with us, it was funny because she kind of got to see the ridiculousness of our house. We run constantly. We're constantly going. We're going to school. We're going to work. We're dropping kids off. I know it's going to get worse the older they get. Everywhere we're going somewhere. I'm on campus. Heather's going to Kansas City. I'm going to St. Louis. Even yesterday, we both went to different sides of the state. We're constantly running. And what happens in all of that is usually it's my kids about 8 o'clock at night when I'm trying to put them down for bed. They go, hey, Daddy, did you read the Bible today? Is what happens is we miss it. Over and over and over, we miss it. And this Christmas, I don't want you to miss the reason why we do all of this. Because we can run and we can do the hustle and bustle. We can put all the stuff together. We can go home, make sure you got all the presents. They all got beautiful bows and wrappers. But we can miss the point of it. I was at this thing called Festival of Light that happens here in the city. And I got a text from Alex. Some of you guys know Alex. I got a text from Alex. He said, hey, can you come pick me up? Which I'm like, I wasn't planning on it. That wasn't in my purview. I didn't have that on my thing. And he goes, well, here's what's going on. So I'm literally in the middle of Festival Light, like trying to do that undercover. You know, it's the bright light so everybody can see you, but you think you're not seeing. You know what I'm talking about? It's that whole thing. I'm like this. And so he's texting me, and I said, what's going on? And he goes, I called a taxi, and the taxi was supposed to come pick me up, but they're not here yet. So I called again, and they put me on hold, and I'm sitting on hold right now. And I was like, well, what do you need? He goes, I got to get to the train station so I can get to St. Louis so I can, you know, catch a plane and go back home. Great. Let me get you hooked up. And he goes, no, they said they're going to get me. I got on the phone. We're going to get it fine. And I said, catch an Uber real quick because, you know, Uber's a thing in Jeff City. And I was like, catch an Uber. And he was like, I can't. There aren't any available right now. Come to find out at the end of FOL, because I thought he was taken care of. I moved on. I went on to watch the rest of the show. It was a great show. I looked at my text messages because I put it on silent, and guess what I found out? Alex missed the train. He missed the train. The taxi never showed up. The taxi people said they're going to show up, never showed up. Uber never had one available. I didn't get back with him. He missed the train. So the next morning, I called him, said, yo, we got you taken care of. We jumped on with him. We went and drove all the way to St. Louis, dropped him off, had a lot of fun talking to him the whole way down there. I actually think that was kind of God's providence. But it's amazing how even when we plan, we still miss the thing we're supposed to do. Even when you get a spiffy little Advent guide that even walks you through every single day, you still miss the point of the season. Even when you put up a Christmas tree, we miss the point of the season. And even here, let me tell you some other things you may miss. Here's some fun ones. Does anybody know why we put oranges in stockings? You see, some people put fruit in their stockings. Depending on what family you come from, they put fruit in their stockings. Well, the fruits in the stocking, the reason specifically oranges are supposed to be put in stockings, it's supposed to represent the gold balls that Saint Nick used to put in women's stockings so they could buy themselves out of slavery. You see, we miss it. Anybody know why we have a Christmas tree? See, I actually had these slides up, so I was going to put it up. But anybody know why we have a Christmas tree? A Christmas tree has three points representing the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Christian missionaries went into Germany, they used to worship the great oak tree. So Christian missionaries, and I like these guys, took axes and cut them down. And said, see, these trees die. You see, we serve a God that is everlasting, like an evergreen. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can look at all three sides of the tree and see the Trinity right there. That's why we have trees. Anybody know where Santa Claus come from? See, a lot of us go, even NORAD is tracking them. The North Pole. And you know something? That is a fun thing that a lot of us do. But there's also, there's the truth behind it. If you go back and look, the real Santa Claus, the guy that we love, actually loved Jesus just like we do. Which is a kind of cool thing. You see, what happens in the season is over and over, we miss the obvious. We miss the obvious. And I don't want you to miss it. So today, I just want to look at many places in Scripture where people miss the obvious. So again, Luke chapter 2 is where I want you to start. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, and I want to kind of break down a few people that I think miss this holiday. Number one, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be registered. This was the first registration under Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph had also went up from Galilee, a town of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. Now, though they don't specifically talk about it, in a lot of Christmas stories, we've added the innkeeper. And so I would say, if you're looking at the person who probably missed it the first in the story, I would say is the innkeeper. Think about the innkeeper. If you're taking notes, I'd write that down, the innkeeper. The first person to miss Jesus was the innkeeper. You see, in those days, hotels, motels weren't like what we have them today. They're more like campgrounds. So you kind of had this open space, and you kind of got in where you could. So for them to say there's no space at our inn or there's no space at our campground, it was pretty packed. It was pretty packed there. People usually spread out on a floor and just slept wherever they possibly could. They wouldn't really, it really wasn't that nice of a place. But we were told in the Bible that this particular year, there are so many travelers on the account of the census being called by Caesar Augustus that he was literally imposing a tax on everybody. And so there's so many people trying to get back home and get where they're supposed to be that there was no space for them to be. And to ensure that he got what was owed to him, he wanted to count all the people. This is Caesar, wanted to count all the people and have them register so they could pay their dues. You know, Caesar was the original IRS. He wanted to make sure that he got his portion. So he made everybody go back home, make sure you're doing pretty well. Well, this meant that Mary and Joseph had to travel all the way to Bethlehem. And she is 8-9 months pregnant at this time. She's ready to go. They most likely walked all the way. Maybe if somebody was really nice or if Joseph had come into a little money, they maybe had a donkey. But most likely they walked. That's a 3-4, maybe 5-day journey on foot the whole time. Mary was very pregnant. A pregnant woman, if you know anything about them, don't travel quickly. That's not in their nature. They're carrying another human, and their bones are like, what is going on? Everything is freaking out in them, and they're trying to get where they're getting. And so when they finally arrive in Bethlehem, they get to this campground, this inn, and it's absolutely full. There is no room for them. And if the innkeeper had known that the baby to be born that night was God, if he had known that, the creator of the world, I think he would have found room. But he missed the baby. He otherwise was preoccupied with the concerns of the world, right? He was just too plain busy to running a business and made a living and saving for retirement to recognize that the baby that was coming and this woman was the promised one who would save all of mankind. Is that you? Like, honestly, I just want you to stop for a second to hear that. Is that you? So busy in business and saving and getting my education and doing the things that I want to do in my life that I miss what's right in front of me, which is this baby. So busy in everything else that I miss the one thing that I need to. Too concerned with surviving or making a living to see that this baby is in fact special. Don't miss the baby. Pause as Christ followers and find out who the baby really is and what he chooses to offer to us. Don't miss the baby by being distracted with what the world has to offer. It's a poor substitute. The second person in the story that I think missed it, or the second people that missed it, were other travelers and town folk. Not only did the innkeeper miss the baby, but the other travelers and people there of Bethlehem missed that baby also. It's right under their noses, right? But they missed it. What would you do? let's just take it for instance. What would you do if the Queen of England came to the United States and came to Jefferson City for whatever reason? Would you open up room for her? Well, yeah. You hopefully would open up room for her. You wouldn't make her sleep on your pull-out couch. Hopefully you'd be like, hey, I'm going to give you the best because of who you are, your position. You're the Queen of England. I'm going to make sure you get taken care of. If she came to your street, you would do everything you could. If there was no room in a local motel for her or hotel, you would offer up your bed, wouldn't you? This is the Queen of England, the most powerful woman arguably on earth. Yes, you're going to take care of her as much as you possibly can. For whatever reason, she's in Jefferson City. You're going to do what you can. No one thought to do that for Mary. Nobody thought to do that for this baby. You see, they had their own concerns. Most of the fellow travelers were on the road for the census. They were in a hurry to get to the places. They were just too worn out. They were too worn out of a long day's travel to even visit this baby. The townsfolk were overrun with visitors for the city. Their schools, reunions were going on. The relatives are catching up. I mean, you know, yeah, Uncle Peg and, Auntie Peg and Uncle Bob. Sorry, mix those one up. And the calendar was too full. They were just too busy to squeeze in this tiny baby. They didn't have time. And so often at Christmas time, our programs can be hectic. So often we're too tired to do another thing. We're so busy, but we try to get somewhere in our life and do things that we don't have any time to just stop and realize what's going on around us. And what happens is that we give our leftovers to this baby and we miss him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're just so busy with everything, all the programs in your life, everything that's filled up your life, all the stuff that you need to do, right? And you know what I'm talking about, that stuff you need to do. I need to fill, you know, you fill in the blank. If I don't do this, then who will? How many times have you said that? I have to do this. Do you really? Like, do you really have to do this? And I have to evaluate this in my life, where I have to think about myself and go, do I really have to, need to do this? Because what happens over and over is that we end up missing the baby. We miss the baby in this moment. But then there's some other characters that miss it also. See, there's a king that was going on. His name was Herod. Herod was one of the other characters of the Christmas story, just like the wise men. He's the new king, and he knew that there was a king being born because there was a star in the sky. So at least he knew that. He knew there was somebody coming. And the wise men followed the star to Jerusalem. They went to the palace of Herod, right? And the king inquired, and they inquired of this king who the new king was. Herod wasn't very different from the innkeeper, though. Most other travelers, he was powerful, he was educated, he was influential, but he was scared. See, that's the thing about Herod, he was scared. He wasn't excited about a competitor king being born. In fact, he was upset, so upset that he disposed of the other children that were around that age just to make sure that he got them all. Herod was scared of this new king because he thought that he would lose his throne, he would lose his power and everything that he enjoyed in life. He missed the baby because he was scared of what he might lose. Maybe that's you. Maybe Jesus is calling to you, but you won't come to him because you're scared of what you might lose. Maybe Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to give this up. I want you to stop and do this. But you're like, if I do it, it cost me all these things. If I go here, it's going to cost me and it's going to fill these things out. If I give this up, it's going to hurt. Yeah. Yeah, it may. But is he worth it? There are so many people today that live like Herod. They're scared that this baby will take away their freedom, their careers, their lifestyles, their ambitions. They're not willing for Jesus to be crowned a king in their lives, so they miss the baby and a chance to live the perfect life that God designed them to live and that God created for them. They miss the baby in this moment, just like Herod, because they want their own power and not his. And listen, our power is a poor substitute. It's a poor substitute. You know what I mean? Like it's really, really bad and kind of sad when you look at it. I absolutely love when I go to school with the kids and I get to spend time with them. And it's funny because I'm on the playground, I'm talking to some of the kids, and you always have that one kid who thinks he's the stuff, right? Like, you remember in elementary school, you had the kid who was probably an inch taller than everybody else, had facial hair for some whatever reason, a seven-year-old has facial hair. And, like, you know, he's on the playground playing tetherball, and he's the stuff. And he's got all the power. He's playing four square, just knocking people out, and you're looking at him like, okay, all right, you're the junk. And then a real grown man shows up. You see, that changes everything, right? Like, here's what happened with me. I was volunteering in the school. We were playing basketball. And they're like, oh, we're going to play ball. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's great. Here's what they don't realize, because they're talking all the smack. I'm a foot taller than you. I don't care how much of an arc you put on this thing. I'm sending it over there to the tetherball courts. Right? And so the kid's coming up on me, and he's like, oh, doing all this stuff. I'm like, yeah. And I'm not good at basketball, but I'm just swatting stuff left and right. Why? Because the reality is that his little power and his little influence is nothing compared to a grown man. Nothing. He has no power. He has no influence. As a matter of fact, this kid who thought he was really the bee's knees looked like an idiot in front of everybody else, which is not a good thing for him. Because he was the one that was putting everybody else down when nobody else was around. All of a sudden, when I jump on the tetherball court, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't beat him. Well, you're right, you can't. I'm a grown man. You see, what happens a lot of times is that we settle for little kid power when really God is trying to give us grown man power. So many times we settle for this little kid power. We're just like, oh, I'm good. I can beat you at four square. And he's like, let me tell you what real power looks like. Let me show you what it looks like to grow up, what it means to pull your hands up, what it means to walk like you have something in life. You see, there's a thing that we forget most times when it comes to this baby is that he came to give us the life that God created us to have. But so many times we refuse to give up all these distractions around us for the thing that he gave us because we're scared of what it's going to cost us. Listen, I'm just going to be real with you, and I love you enough to tell you this to your face. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. Not an arm and leg, it's going to cost you everything. And here's the thing, that's too high of a cost for some people. But I don't want to pay all that. I like my influence in this world. Child's play. I like my little car. Child's play. But I like to do this thing on the side. I like my side chick. I like the child's play, child's play, child's play. It's not reality. Reality is that God created this universe for his glory and our joy. And when we are willing to submit to his glory and find our joy in it, we have all we need. I've, over this last year, and I'll get to the next point, but over this last year, I've really been pondering this a lot. In my personal study, I've been really looking at the African diaspora and trying to really wrap my head around this one simple thing. Why were these slaves in the United States so joyous? Well, you ever wonder that? At least you're honest. Like I've wondered that for years. Like how did people who were enslaved, that were being beaten, who were families were being broken apart, everything's going wrong for them, joyous? You see, they chose to submit everything to him, and they found their joy in the midst of that. When you go back and read some of these writings of even the slave masters, they were confused. How are these people that we beat, that we break, that we hurt, that we do everything in, still worshiping Jesus, still raising their hands, singing hymns in the field as their hands are being bloody as they pick cotton? How? 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 Because in the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of everything, they said, I have nothing. I have nothing, so I give you everything. And I think part of the problem that we have today, very honestly, in America especially, is that we have so much that we're not willing to give it up. We got things. And tomorrow we're going to get a lot of things. But are you willing to give some of those things up for the goodness and graciousness of who Jesus is? This is just the truth of the matter, that you have to learn to be able to give these things up. Do you need to allow the King to take the throne of your life this Christmas? Don't miss the baby because you're jealous. Next up is this. The last group is the religious leaders. The religious leaders. The religious leaders of the day were like the ministers, the pastors, people who would have been able to recognize that God was doing something. When Herod was trying to track down the baby, he went to religious leaders to see if they knew anything about this promised king. And they did. They knew. According to the Bible, they knew. They knew about him from the prophecies in the Bible. They knew that he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew that they knew all about him. And do you know the funny thing? Even though they were deeply religious, even though they didn't bother to go and check Bethlehem to see whether or not this special baby, God's son, had been born for Christmas, they knew. They missed the baby because of their indifference. They missed the baby. They had all the facts about the baby. They knew he would be special. They knew that he was God's son, that he would save them, that he was the Messiah, and they didn't care. They just didn't care. They didn't think they needed a Savior. They thought they were good enough because of their indifference, and because of that, they missed the baby. Don't be that one. Many people today think similarly to this religious leader. They think that they're good enough, that they'll be good enough to impress God without a baby. That they won't, but they won't. You're not. You're not. We need the baby if we're going to be right with God. He came to die so that we could be forgiven. We just got done singing that. Without him, we have no chance of pleasing God. No chance. Are you indifferent because you don't know why you need saving or because you think you're good enough on your own? Don't make the mistake this Christmas to miss the baby because of your indifference. One of my favorite things in the world is I like to cook. I didn't get this big not cooking and eating. I like to cook. By the way, don't trust a skinny chef. I like to cook, right? And so I'm in there and I'm cooking and usually I turn around. We have a little play kitchen right over here. In my little bit, as always, she gets a little pot and pan, and she makes something, and she'll bring it over to me. She'll go, "Daddy, taste." And it's just little pieces of wood, but I'll taste it, because when a child tells you to taste something or answer a phone, you do. And so I did. I tasted, and she cooks with me. And it's always been fun. All my kids have done this. Well, they'll cook with me. And they learn. Even when I was a kid, there's stories, and they know the stories. When grandma would be in the kitchen cutting up vegetables, I would run through the vegetables and take my fair share and eat them and watch her cook. And actually, that's how I learned a lot of my cooking skills, was just watching my mom and dad in the kitchen cook constantly. You see, it's funny, is I know the difference between the soup I make or the pizza I make or whatever I make in the kitchen and the toy that my daughter uses over here to cook. You see, so many of us are satisfied with the toy, thinking that the toy is going to satisfy us, thinking the toy is going to bring sustenance, thinking that that block of wood or that piece of plastic is going to give you everything you need, and it gives you nothing. It's fun to play, but it ain't real. See, the real sustenance is over here. The real sustenance is over here. This is where the real heat's going on. This is where the real frying's going on, the real sautéing's going on, the real oil is. I mean, we could play games all day over here. And that's what a lot of us do when we're indifferent to it. Like, we know it. We grew up in church. We've heard it. We've heard the story enough time. So we're just indifferent to it. Like, I'm good enough. That's playing the game. Come get in it. Actually be in the game with him. Actually be about that. And see, what happens is your religious leaders knew all the stories. Oh, yeah, Mary, the virgin, the baby birth, the star, the wise men, Persia. Yeah, we got that. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Yeah, we know. Everybody knows the story. But are you so indifferent that you miss the baby? You miss the point of the whole story? The whole story. Everything. Think about it. The shepherds, the angel, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John, Zechariah. Think of all of it. Think of the temple. Think of Anna. Think of Simeon. We forget about them. Think of everybody in the story. All of it was focused on one thing, and that's the baby. Don't miss the baby. We light these candles not because they're really cool or it looks cool, all the good stuff. No, because love, hope, peace, joy is embodied in that baby. We come back tonight to celebrate and sing hymns together. Why? Because we celebrate the birth of the baby. Even my little man said tonight, "Daddy, we should come worship tonight." Why? Why? Because Jesus was born at night. We should worship at night. Because he understands already, you don't miss the baby. The manger is about the baby. Even if you watch the cool little movies and people are singing, it's all about the baby. Do not miss the baby, not because you're indifferent, not because you're too busy, not because you have too much in your life, not because you're not willing to give up. You cannot miss the baby. I'm pleading with you, don't miss the baby. There's four groups of people here, and I'll read them again. Some miss the baby because they're too distracted with what the world has to offer. Some miss the baby because they're too busy and don't have time to find out about him. Some miss the baby because they're too scared to let him take control of their life. And some of them just don't care. They're ignorant or indifferent to his behavior. This Christmas, I want to offer you the greatest gift of all. You'll get great gifts tomorrow. Some of you guys will get big gifts. Some of you guys will get small gifts. Some of us will get no gifts. That's fine. Whatever it is. Let me offer you the greatest gift you can ever have, and his name is Jesus. And let me just say this. If the God of the universe is willing to come down from heaven, the perfection of the universe, as a baby, in swaddling clothes in the mess of a manger, he's willing to step into your life. Your life is no more messy than that manger was. Your life is probably JV compared to what that manger was. If the God of all perfection in this universe said, I got you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to bring you everything. He'll step into your world. The gift that we want to give you is Jesus. We want you to receive that baby, to open your hands and say, I want him. Unwrap that gift. Don't miss out on that one. Unwrap that gift. Enjoy the point of it. This is, I'll tell you this and I'll end. Here in the next week, we're going to head up to Iowa. We're going to get out and go visit Heather's family up there. And it's always fun. There's about, I think, 146 of us in your house now. We got two dogs and kids everywhere. And we do this thing where when we open presents, everybody gets in a big circle. And you open presents from youngest to oldest. Mind you, we got two grandmas that are 91. Yeah, two grandmas are 91. And four, so it's 491. It's a long time. And you're doing it. And what happens inevitably, this happened the first year I was there, is you'll get a present, because I never got many presents as a child. So the first time I got a present there, I got my present, and it was a book, which, by the way, it was great. They know now to hide the book towards the end, but I got a book. And I opened up the book, and I was like, that's awesome. And I left. I left the room. I didn't know that there was more, but I left the room. And I went to the other room and started reading the book. And then my tank came up and they're like, where's John? Where's John? I'm like, I'm reading, bro. Leave me alone. It's a good book. I found coffee. Found a good book. I'm great. I was writing away, doing my thing. And they're like, where is he? He's got a present. No, I don't. I'm good. I got my present. I'm great. But inevitably, every year what happens with the kids is they'll grab a box and they'll find something. And all the kids, regardless of what's left in their presents, will all start playing with that one thing. And we all, like, we have other presents to open, but they don't care. That one is the coolest thing. Now, mind you, we have, like, I don't forget how many kids we have there. 15, 14, 11 kids. Like, it's kind of crazy. And they're all like, that's the awesome toy. They all go there. And what happens? In that moment, when they all focus on that one thing, they miss the greater point. And no matter how much we fuss, or no matter how much my father-in-law sits with a big bag of trash and we all throw our trash at him, he tries to catch it like he's that guy, you know, and we all laugh and talk, and somebody gets fussed at, and we take pictures, and we always make the kids go, say thank you, and thank you. You know, like, it's, you know, that whole thing, right? Here's the part that I look forward to every year. And I look forward, it happened this week. My mother-in-law bakes a cake, and she ices it. She brings it out, she puts candles in it, and we sing, Happy Birthday to Jesus. Because regardless of everything that goes on, outside sledding, running up and down, running into trees, dogs fighting, us fighting, whatever's going on, it happens every year. The point I always look forward to is right after dinner when we pulled out that cake and we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Because in the end, we don't want to miss the baby. Don't miss the baby. That's the present I want to give you this Christmas. If you've never received that gift, if you've never opened that gift, if you've never heard that gift, if you don't have that gift this Christmas, that should be the only gift. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. That's the one you gotta open. The rest of it, nah. This is the gift that will change your world. This is the gift that will rock your world. And listen, if you're a Christ follower and you're just like, I've opened that gift before, Pastor John, great. Then let it happen again for the first time again. Let him refresh your soul. Let him renew your soul. Because as you go into 2018, you're going to need that renewal. You're going to need that strength. You're going to need him afresh. You're going to have to stoke that fire and have him burn afresh again. It gets a little dull sometimes. You're going to have to come back to him and say, I need to open this present once again. I need you again, Jesus. If you don't have him or if you need more of him, today is the day that you receive him again, that you come back into his presence and say, Jesus, I need you. Because listen, he hasn't gone anywhere. It's you that's moved. It's you that's moved. You've been standing here the whole time. He's been standing here like, hey, I'm waiting for you. It's us running. It's us dodging, acting like we got something on him. He wants you. Come running back to him. Come running back to him. Come running back to him. He calls for you. He calls for you today. Whatever you do, as you walk in this place, as you leave this place, whatever you do, wherever you go, do not miss this baby this Christmas. One mistake you can't honestly afford to make. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you came as a child. Even as this little one here is crying, I thank you so much because we know you came that way. And even in that state, you brought grace and mercy and joy to this world. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you came from the perfection of heaven to the mess of earth. Knowing that in this mess, you were willing to enter all of our lives. Father God, we need you today. We need your hope, peace, love, and joy. For without those things, we have nothing. Jesus, you are the completion of all things. And we just ask that if I or anybody here does not know you, that they open you, they receive you into their life. And that for those of us that do know you, that we receive you afresh by your Spirit. Empower us now to do your work and your will. We praise you and thank you in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.